there's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Bowl & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bowlandbranch.com with code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
It's best of time, and I'm joined today by young Killian Dan, my large adult son. Killian, it's a pleasure to have you here with me today.
Thank you, Murph, although I am wondering how many people had to turn you down before.
Let's not go into that, Killian. I mean, listen, you're here. You may not have been my first choice, but you're the right choice.
I feel a bit like Prince Andrew being sent to open a shopping centre instead of the Queen.
Man, we tried everyone. You know the drill at this stage, of course. We play our non-members some of the best bits from the show that week, any given week, in an attempt, sometimes brave, sometimes reckless, to convince them to sign up to our really rather wonderful Second Captain's World Service. If you are so minded, you can go to secondcaptains.com/join, and for just €5 a month plus VAT, you'll get 6 shows a week, completely ad-free and without interruption. A square deal, if ever I heard one. And if not, at least we can say we tried, Killian. This week, from the riches within, we have chosen some areas of particular interest to you, our newest NFL fan. You were in Rochester, New York. Our listeners have been made aware of this on the World Service.
A number of times.
We spoke to Brian Murphy about the best weekend of the football year, the divisional round, the Super Bowl quarterfinals, effectively. And Brian did his level best to wrap it all up in a neat little bundle.
I made a list of what I thought the 8 most important things were out of 8 teams. So, I mean, just to kind of share with you guys there, out of everything that happened, and I know usually when we come on the air Monday morning, the immediacy bias of Sunday night's game is what everybody thinks. And that was the marquee game, the Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens, Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills game, which ended in such climactic fashion with that drop. I actually said that if you look at it big picture, the bigger story to me was the collapse of the Detroit Lions. That was absolutely, it was shocking, it was heartbreaking, it was stunning, it was damaging. It was everything. I mean, we've talked about that team and how they've never been to a Super Bowl and they've only been to 2 NFC championships. And it's this hard scrabble town that, you know, is a great sports tradition, of course, going all the way back to their hockey with the Red Wings or their baseball with the Tigers and all the stuff they've done, even the Bad Boy Pistons winning NBA titles and all that. But man, the Lions having a 15-win season and the one seed at home, you don't see wild card teams come in and knock off one seeds very often at all. I mean, you can kind of pick them out in your brain when it's happened. Specifically for my brain, I go back to 1987 when the number one seed 49ers got absolutely shocked by the Minnesota Vikings at Candlestick Park, a game I'm still not entirely over, to be honest with you. So that to me was the biggest bomb, because it led to, obviously, you know, we can talk about Jaden Daniels in a second in Washington, but the second for me was Baltimore and the drop and the Mark Andrews drop and how it affected everything, how it affects Lamar Jackson's legacy and how it affects the Ravens' ongoing quest and how it affects the AFC Championship this week. Because, I mean, we can go to any number of ways you guys want to go after this, but I almost want to say that I think the Baltimore Ravens pose a bigger threat to the Chiefs than the Bills do. So As a guy who wants to see the Chiefs lose, that's me, hand raised. I actually almost would have rather sent the Ravens to represent us. I say us as a nation of Chiefs haters. But, you know, Buffalo's a worthy send. Shout out Killian and the whole Bills and everything. But, I mean, the Ravens actually kind of outplayed them, except for three brutal turnovers and a drop. But that's part of the game. When you turn it over three times and drop it, you lose. So lots and lots and lots of stuff. But those would be my headlines.
Well, let's give the Commanders their due then, Brian, because I'm sure Paul, our World Service member, I haven't seen an email drop in yet this week. I'm sure it's on the way. Maybe he's just wondering quite how much gloating he wants to do in this email, because the Commanders got it done against the Detroit Lions.
So he's probably one of these guys who, you know, he called his shot, he got his shot, he delivered his shot, and now he's probably just like, speaks for itself. Don't even need to email. You know what I mean? So that's when you're a real badass, when you don't even follow up because you just like drop the mic and walk out of the room, right? Well, I hope last week, I haven't checked, you know, the transcript from last week, but I hope we did, or at least I think I recall, responding with respect to his plea for more respect for the Jaden Daniels and Washington Commanders. I really liked them. And that's why I think the Detroit Lions thing was such a big deal, because that what they did, that was a big deal, man. That was a big deal. Shout out the outgoing President Joe Biden when he said that to Obama with an F word in there back in the Obamacare days. But that was a big deal. And that Jaden Daniels performance, they scored 45 points as a team. One of them was a defensive touchdown. So they scored 38 points as an offense on the road in a hostile environment with pressure, with a rookie at quarterback. Guys, you want to talk about sitting up and taking notice? I mean, we've gone from sort of not really paying attention to the Washington Commanders, who were the sixth seed going into the playoffs out of seven teams. We've gone from sort of not paying attention to the Washington Commanders to asking the question, is Jaden Daniels playing the best of any quarterback in the NFL? And I think the answer is yes. And guys, we've talked about this, man. He's a rookie. Like, this is getting to be serious. I mean, last year at this time, C.J. Stroud of the Houston Texans performed so well, everybody fell in love with him, including me. I fell in love with C.J. Stroud last year, and I thought he was the next great mold breaker and deal breaker and history writer and all that, and he still could be. In fact, you know, they made the play. They didn't have as great a year as everybody wanted. His offensive line failed him miserably. But he still made the playoffs and won a game. They knocked off the Chargers last week. So you can still say that C.J. Stroud is out here doing his thing. Now he had to go to Arrowhead and play Mahomes and the Chiefs, or Mahomes and the refs, which is a whole other topic. So while we all fell in love with C.J. Stroud, I'm almost telling you guys that to sort of caution against falling head over heels in love with Jaden Daniels. But guys, I think I'm falling head over heels in love with Jaden Daniels. And as a 49er fan, you know, who I'm looking at the NFC landscape, and prior to Jaden Daniels' emergence here, you kind of looked around the league and or the NFC, and you were like, whew, thank God all the best quarterbacks are in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, who didn't even make the playoffs this year, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, were like, man, and even, you know, Justin Herbert, C.J. Stroud, you're like, whew, let those guys fight it out. Thank God we don't have to play those guys to get to the Super Bowl. And really, in the NFC, there was really no, like, Jordan Love of the Packers was coming on, Jalen Hurts, you know, does some things, but, you know, Brock Purdy as a 49er quarterback was a worthy guy to have you go into the playoffs. Well, now, if Jaden Daniels is going to play like this, guys, I mean, we had Dante Whitner, former, you know, Pro Bowl D-back and former 49er on our show. And he's like, the Washington window is opening right now and might be open for the next 10 years with this guy. So it's on.
You mentioned Jalen Hurts there. The weather decreed that it wasn't going to be a Jalen Hurts or indeed a quarterback kind of day in Philadelphia on Sunday. It was Saquon Barkley day. Every day is Saquon Barkley day. you did say, I mean, you know, there's probably going to be, it wasn't an amazing performance by you again on the prediction front this week, Brian, let's be honest. But you did predict one thing, that Saquon Barkley would be a big factor in this game. And that's exactly how it turned out for the Eagles' 28-22 win over the Rams.
What'd I go, 2-2?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
What'd I go last week, 3-3?
Yeah.
So we're 5-5?
That's pretty much where we're.
Do you guys want to do you want to take my advice? Do you go to the, there's a zoo in Dublin. I never went to the zoo in Dublin. There's a there has to be a zoo, right?
Yeah, it's
Phoenix Park.
I don't think I've ever been to the Dublin Zoo. Is it in Phoenix Park?
Yeah,
well, as I suggest, go find a monkey and ask him. All right, go find a monkey and ask him. He'll do just as well. He'll do just as well, if not a little better. So that's, hey guys, you get what you pay for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Saquon Barkley. Yeah, that's one we did get. You know, it's funny, just kind of as a corollary to that. I also told you guys, I thought Derrick Henry would lift the Ravens. And quite frankly, I don't think they used Derrick Henry just enough. I think they could have used him a little more and they might've won that game if they used him a little more, but I digress. And one, you know, if you guys are going to take little shots at me, I can do one pushback a little bit, Caron, is that it was snowy there, but did you see Matt Stafford of the Rams? He threw for over 300 yards. He threw for over 300 yards. I mean, the Rams are exiting the playoffs, but not without making some noise, I'll tell you that. And really, they came down to the fact that Saquon broke those two long touchdown runs on them.
Thriller. Yeah.
And that Stafford is something else, man. Going into his age 37 year, he looks like he's as good as ever. But Jalen Hurts, yeah, it was the weather a little bit, but also, yeah, there's been a fear that he's regressed a little bit this year. And I think he's banged up. I mean, I think it's undeniable. The knee was twisted and hurt, and he was limping around, and it led you to wonder, like, they had a key play in that game where they dropped him back in the end zone when they were pinned deep in their own territory, and he got tackled for a safety. I think that was pretty low-hanging fruit to say, dude, what a terrible call. You got to give the ball to Saquon Barkley down there. Now, it's not just Saquon, guys. He has a great, and I mean great, offensive line, and that's what will forever win in football is the line of scrimmage. Everybody knows that. You got to win. In fact, if there's anything that plagued my Niners this year, it was perhaps a lack of dominance at the line of scrimmage. And the Eagles have a great D-line with young players, but they also, more importantly, have a great O-line. If you look at those two long touchdown runs by Saquon Barkley, it was almost like so easy a caveman could do it. You know, I mean, they were big, wide-open holes, but he gets credit for his quickness and his burst, and he did shuffle a little bit to get through those holes. But yeah, between their O-line and Saquon, man, and again, we talked about this, but it's like pushing against this analytics narrative that you don't need to have a star running back. Anybody can play running back. Well, Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry are like, oh, really? Because look what happens when you have a star running back. So that would really be the fear for the Washington Commanders, that Saquon could almost single-handedly break one or two plays that would beat them. And that will be sort of the story going in. Because Jalen Hurts right now is not revving at a high level. His receivers are not revving at a super high level. They are revving at a high level in terms of turnovers and in terms of Saquon Barkley. So, yeah, that one was right. That one we got right. And he is a dude, man. It's exciting to see. And it's kind of fun for the old school crowd to see the return of the running back. I mean, you know, it's like – the fact that we got devalued by sort of the analytics movement was a little injurious to our memories of great running backs through the years. So it's kind of fun to see the Cadillac running back return to prominence.
We actually left out your arrival on the scene there, Killian, to berate poor Brian again for going against your beloved Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I was going to say I felt bad for ambushing Brian live on air, but I think I kind of forced his hand into being more positive about the Bills, so
yeah.
I feel like I'm doing my New York family proud there.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a people pleaser, and he tried to please you as best he can. They're going to Kansas City to take on the 3-in-a-row chasing Kansas City Chiefs, and yet you remain blissfully, blithely optimistic, operating as you are in an entirely information-free environment.
I told Brian the other day, if you have no information, no knowledge, no wisdom, you can live in a world of bliss.
Don't forget that the final episode of Steak Knife is out tomorrow, Friday, on BBC Sounds. The series has been, well, absolutely mind-blowingly good, if you ask me. I hope you've all enjoyed it as much as I have. It's just passed 1 million listens in the UK alone, which is a sensational number. So it's all building to a crescendo. Episode 9 will be available tomorrow. Everywhere else you get your podcast, episode 10 is on BBC Sounds from tomorrow morning. So if you've been waiting to binge listen, well, now's the time. Now is the time to hear Ken's eulogy at the funeral of Man City, who somehow managed to turn a 2-0 lead away to mentality monsters PSG into a crushing 4-2 defeat.
Hey, Prime members. Are you tired of ads interfering with your favorite podcasts? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.com/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton bedding from Bowl & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com with code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Worried about what ingredients are hiding in your groceries? Let us take the guesswork out. We're Thrive Market, the online grocery store with the highest quality standards in the industry. We restrict 1,000 plus ingredients, so you can trust that you'll only find the best high quality organic and sustainable brands, all free of the junk. With savings up to 30% off and fast carbon neutral shipping, you get top trusted groceries at your door, and you can stop worrying about what your kids get their hands on. Start shopping at thrivemarket.com/podcast for 30% off your first order and a free gift.
City went 2-0 up. You think it's over. It's not over. They scored, and then they scored again. It was 2-2 immediately. And from that point on, City were in the doom spiral. You know, oh, it was like weird.
But it was incredible how, for the last 40 minutes of the game, City did nothing. They were just incredibly bad.
Yeah,
they were just utterly, utterly useless. And they were getting destroyed in midfield. But they were also getting destroyed down the flanks as well.
Yeah.
Barkala and Dembele were just ripped
what
them to
what
shreds.
Dembele did to Bernardo. Yeah. I mean, it was one of the best nutmegs. But, you know, just the look on Bernardo Silva's face. You see that Dembele just sort of sticks the ball through his legs, smacks off the bar. It would have been one of the best goals I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But just the look of defeat on Bernardo, just, oh, God, as he got up after being nutmegged. But, like, they just don't have the physical capacity to, you know, to turn games back in their direction. And Guardiola was talking about this. This is Guardiola after the game, and just the tone, you said resigned. Mm. I mean, he says in here, we couldn't cope. Like, yeah. It's not great, but let's hear him.
Well, I see in other games, the games they're playing, they're quite similar. Today they won, but when you see the game against other opponents, always play good. I knew it would be tough. So PSG is an exceptional team. So for many, many years, it's winning, and that's if you're in doubts. And we arrive in the situations that we arrive, in occasionally in a good mood, but we could not cope. So I would like to say differently, but when one team I feel is better, I'm not a problem to accept it. Forget it, and now prepare another tough game against Chelsea, and of course the final against Bruges, and continue. And this is what we have to do. We have done this season, survive, and try to move forward. I know the players gave everything, so I don't have doubts. And I know they want to try, they do it. But when one team is better, you have to accept it.
Players gave everything. I have no problem when you're 25th in the Champions League, league playoff. I mean. You know, if the players have given everything and you've just been beaten and you can't cope, I mean, it's not exactly fighting talk, is it?
No, and, you know, they're playing Bruges. He said Bruges. The Bruges are calling themselves Brugge these days.
Okay.
Simon Mignolet's Brugge.
Love him, Brugge.
Unbeaten in 19. Man City, I mean, Brugge have a better record than PSG, you know, in the Champions League. They beat Villa. They beat Sporting CP.
Pre or post?
Post-Amarim. Sporting. They drew at Juventus, they drew at Celtic. They lost away to Milan, where Kyle Walker is now. Kyle Walker is now a Milan player on loan until the end of the season. But they had a red card in that game. Weren't losing until they... they weren't losing...
An early goal for City and... This, you know, you
it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you know, I was going to say,
Feyenoord, you know, they were winning that game 3-0.
Yeah, true. I was going to say if they got an early goal, then they could win it by three or four, and you'd look. But it's true. All of the things we used to think about Man City are no longer true.
Yeah, because the whole.
But it could get incredibly nervous if it's nil all at halftime, nil all at 60 minutes.
I honestly, I'm not even sure how nervous it's going to get. Like I kind of feel like they're just like we're done. Like,
yeah,
you know, the season's already a write off. Even if they get through this round, you know, who are they going to? They're going to play someone in the. They're going to get through a playoff. It's hard to see it.
Yeah,
you know, like the whole basis of their game was you know dominating the ball. They had 63% possession against them last night, which is I don't know if that's ever happened. If there's ever been such dominance of the ball against Man City since Guardiola's been there. But the whole point was
Ederson turned into Shane Cake Curran. Last night, literally just hoofing, like first of all tried to play out the ball, play out from the back terribly, and then just hoofing the ball in all directions.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sorry, Shane.
I think the comical nature of the second goal they conceded as well convinced them this is not going to be. We're not going to get anything out of this game, but Guardiola actually had been talking before. He was interesting enough. I think this is on TNT, but talking before the game about how. Football is going and well just listen to what he says. He draws up a little camp of teams that he thinks represent modern football, as he calls it, or like the 2025 edition, and City are a long way off these, but this is what he said.
Today the modern football is the way the Bournemouth play, the Newcastle play, like Brighton play, like you know, Liverpool or something like that. Like we were, it's the modern football. Today the modern football is not, you know, positional and being there. You have to rise the rhythm, unbelievable. It could not. Simply could not because we didn't have players, you know. Always I had regret what happened with the... Of course, injuries have all the teams. Arsenal now, Madrid had, and all the teams had a lot of injuries when you play every 3 days. And the players one game a week, the teams are playing all week is another history. That doesn't count. Counting when you play every 3-4 days, and injuries have... But not this amount in certain positions, this amount in important players and so on never happened before. It made me reflect that in the future we have to be a longer squad. So we cannot always, I live with a few players, but when it happened with that, always the team cannot survive.
So basically modern football is, you know, he's coming around to the point of view that running is actually an important part of the game. Mm. I mean, it always has been an important part of what City are doing. It's obviously the part that they wouldn't try to emphasize, unlike, for example, Klopp, who's like, well, you know, chase, run. Get in their faces. We'll run more than them. City's like, no, we'll run less than them. But we do have to run, especially when they've got the ball, in order to make sure that doesn't last for that they don't have the ball for long and we dominate the game. And this is the thing they can't do anymore. If they can't do that, then they can't play their game at all. They're a busted flush.
Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just speaking into the void? Well, with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, seniority, skills. Wait, did I say job title yet? Get started today and see how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Prime members. Are you tired of ads interfering with your favorite podcasts? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.com/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I said, Karen, it's Richard Keys.
Oh, damn!
Prehistoric banter.
Please, it was just banter.
Is not acceptable in a modern world.
Do you have any regrets?
None. There are some dark forces at work here.
The eyes have it. The eyes have it. Unlock!
We spoke to two of our all-timers, Malky Clerken and Jimmy Wall, on Tuesday about last weekend's All-Ireland Club Finals, and Owen started the ball rolling in typically bombastic fashion.
two Dublin clubs win in the end, Mal. Not necessarily the story that everybody wanted. So why are large Dublin super clubs so unpopular around the country?
What is it about them? Yeah. Like, and you know, they
what is it about somebody saying we had 3,000 back at the club there?
I know, yeah.
There isn't 3,000 people in most parishes.
No, exactly, yeah. It's funny, I compare it to my my brothers-in-law and my sisters are involved in a tiny club in Monaghan, the Sean McDermott's. And I always say that the patch of land, the patch of Irish soil that their club covers and Na Fianna covers are almost exactly the same size. You know, that in terms of square acreage, they're pretty much exactly the same sort of footprint on the land. And yet there's probably 100,000 people living in Drumcondra and Glasnevin and Finglas East and Lower Ballymun. And in Kirkcahan, Stranooden and Three Mile House, there are not.
Shout out to all the people.
Shout out to, and it's very important that you mention all three areas in the parish.
We've got 3 minutes, we can name them all.
There's about 300 houses, you know. So it's such a weird kind of dichotomy of what the GAA is. Like in a weird kind of way, like people are slagging Coola for renting out the Dart, you know, and going, well, look at these kind of arseholes with their multinational company sponsoring them. Like, they just about covered their cost there. Like, they charged everybody a fiver. It was the quickest way of getting them across the city. Yeah. Sarsfield's rented two trains as well and came up from Cork and nobody said a fucking word about it. Yeah. Because they're from the country and Coola are the hoity-toity arseholes from South Dublin. Like, look, I totally get it. I don't think super clubs are healthy at all. I think they're there because of necessity. Because in urban areas, there is no... Like, Coola don't own a blade of grass, as Des Cahill will always tell you. Like, they don't own a pitch of their own. Na Fianna have one pitch on Moby Road. They rent the back pitch from Skull Katrina beside them. The senior team trains away out by the airport in the Royal College of Surgeons, like trying to find somewhere for like the cool lads. They train in Bray, like they go down to Bray Emmets and train after Bray are finished with their pitches down there. Like, these clubs have got so big over the past sort of decade, two decades, when GAA has really sort of taken a hold in the city. It's not healthy. Like, Na Fianna should be four clubs. Coola should be four clubs. Kilmacud should be four clubs. But
that can't happen, though, can it?
It can't happen.
Is there any way of that happening? Because this is something you've talked about before, isn't
there's
it?
No space.
Where are you going to put them?
Yeah. That, and like, that is kind of it, you know? And if Na Fianna becomes four clubs, then like the bargaining power of those four much smaller clubs when it comes to Dublin City Council trying to get pitches, it becomes less,
They nearly need to make them four clubs, but like two of them play out in Ashburn, essentially. They play in Meath near enough,
It's just
not feasible.
Wicklow, Oisín McConville.
I'm sure Oisín had taken any phrase that he could.
But the thing is, and like we talk about the sports side of it so much, me as a blow-in into the area, walking around there on Sunday night down at the club where like everybody's kids can be running around and nobody's worried about them, everybody's safe, everybody's having a great time. As a community thing, it's exactly the same as what Sean McDermott's is in Three Mile House in Kirkcahan. It's a place where, you know, the whole strands of everybody in that sort of radius around that area can come together and go, geez, isn't this great? Geez, isn't it? It is the heart and soul of that community. And therefore, even though it is a super club, it's no real different to what the tiny clubs are.
Yeah, and even from a GA point of view, what they do, that's the kind of the sociological element.
That's the thing that matters, really.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. But from a GA perspective, what they do is provide games to a lot of kids who wouldn't otherwise get that exposure. They aggressively promote both sports, you know, and they keep kids away from, you know, damaging behaviours like drink or drugs or rugby.
Bohemians.
But I mean, like that is a thing as well. You know, like Kilmacud, Ballyboden, Na Fianna and Coola are oftentimes the last four teams standing in the Dublin Hurling Championship, and you'd say that the most of them are all, like, they all have more famous footballers than they have hurlers, you know?
To be fair as well, I don't think there's much gripe, we'll say, about inherent unfairness of larger clubs, smaller clubs. Well, at least not for me. I think that that has always existed in everything. And to be honest, city clubs are always going to be bigger than country clubs. In Cork, Blackrock are always going to be a massive club. Nemo are always going to be a huge club. There's no... It reminds me of, again, you know, we talk about soccer coverage. Manchester United are always going to be a huge sized club, if nothing else. Liverpool have always been a bigger club than Tranmere Rovers. Do you know? Well, I presume they have. They have, as long as I've been alive or even considering what football is, right? They've always been... So there are bigger clubs and there are smaller clubs. There are bigger counties and there are smaller counties. That's why we have senior, intermediate, junior. That's why we are slowly but surely getting there with the Gaelic football.
Oh, but I'm sure people around the country, am I over-egging this, were watching that wanted Ergal Kieran to complete that comeback in the second half, for example, probably wanted Nafina to lose.
But Owen, the only thing you can do though with all of that is, you know, these clubs are these clubs, but you can't be giving them advantages. Like, I think it is ridiculous that the Leinster finals were played in Croke Park. Like, I genuinely think that
there's a good reason for that.
They're played in December.
You have a chance to play, like, very important games on the best possible surface. Now, I think you're looking at Newbridge, and Newbridge is such a brilliant and hopefully that development continues to be used in that way, because honestly the pitch looked amazing for that. There was an Ireland semi-final play there, was there?
Saracen Slot-Neil, was it?
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe, like, I think there's a good reason to play those games in Croke Park, but I also take the point that having looked at the two finals this year, like this week, there's maybe a reason to be like, okay, that's a short-term thing until we have...
I just think you can't... These clubs, and look, I'm part of one of them, these clubs have enough advantages because of the sheer... size, the absolute numbers that they have. They're, you know, and in fairness to the GAA in Dublin, they're able to put separate teams into the hurling championship and to the football championship and reach the last four of the county in a lot of cases. Like, the numbers thing is enormous, and it's the thing that small clubs can do absolutely nothing about. And with demographics, small clubs are only getting smaller all around the country. So I totally get, you know, them kind of looking at Nafina and Kula, right? Sure, what is there to celebrate there? I totally get that. But, like, I don't think that we can be given the likes of Nafina and Kula structural advantages then, as in playing a serious game in Croke Park a month before the All-Ireland.
I don't know that there was the same kind of, throughout the countryside, we'll say, the same maybe malcontent at Nafina as there may have been at Kula. I think that whole Dart thing the whole multinational.
Yeah. So it's not an anti-Dublin bias, it's an anti-Southside Dublin bias. I see where you're coming from here.
It makes logical sense, is what you're saying.
I'm affronted on behalf of all Southsiders.
I'm not. I thought there was fine people on both sides of the room. Fine people on both sides.
This is the Damo and Ivor episode of the Second Caps podcast.
Of course, we're the same guy. Enough about him. but genuinely, I don't think there might have been the same kind of raised eyebrows, we'll say, in the countryside, just because people are the way they are, and people see the queues of people queuing up for the Dart, and they're on Twitter.
What's
and
so
they're
bad
just
about the Dart?
I know
the
I
Dart's
don't
a
get
very
it.
Efficient way to get from that area
exactly.
to
it's
Croke
a
Park.
Very efficient way to get from the rich area of Dublin to another rich area.
I agree.
Of
lovely views out to the sea as well. Oh, you know,
I
you
agree,
go past Sea Point there.
But country people
beautiful.
Don't understand it, because the Dublin-based government took away all our rail 100 years ago or whatever it is. So people don't realise that
better
that actually just makes more sense than driving in with your sandwiches and your tea. We don't get
you also
that.
Then have to give a fiver to Northside kids to mind your car. You don't want to be doing that.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing that.
For protection.
But no, I think that's, I mean, Nafina, like, in one way, could never be the underdog. But in another way, they're a Dublin hurling club up against, you know, the best club side that Cork have. Yeah. I mean, I you know, there may have been a bit of grumbling about it, but I don't know that Nafina's win was necessarily... You know,
no,
it'll
be
with
when,
wailing
it'll
and
be when we're going for our fourth All Ireland in Rome. Yeah, that's when the grudge will
be long, coming around. Yeah. You know? But I mean,
is it different? Is it is it less pronounced at club level anyway than intercounty? You know, are people more? Do people recognise what Mal is talking about? That Coola and Nafina are clubs. They
I
are
think
doing
they do.
Basically
yeah,
the same
what
thing
I'm trying to say.
As clubs yeah. around the country but in comparison to the Dublin county team, which just represents this behemoth. Yeah,
and the irony of that, of course, is that when people give out about all the money that has gone into Dublin and, you know, has made bought them the six in a row. Where the money went is actually into the clubs.
Yeah. They were ultimately the beneficiaries. But I mean, like, I would say that, like, say, around the Shane Walsh transfer, that didn't go down well. And, you know, like, the first thing that the Kilkerran Clonburn chairman said that week was, you know, this isn't about Shane Walsh, you know, even though, but you know, but it's about a Dublin, a massive Dublin club, you know, flexing their muscles. And like, so
and
I think
there is an argument there as well. Of course, I you know, the thing with transfers, that's a big thing as well. Like Brian Ryan is some transfer to come into Nafina. Now, Brian Ryan was on the Limerick squad that won the 2020 All-Ireland. He was in a run. He played minor for Limerick. But now, while he was playing for Limerick, he was living in Dublin. He's lived in Dublin since he went to college. So he was going to move to a Dublin club eventually. But Jesus, that's some transfer for Nafina to be able to slot in there. And now he's going to be playing for Dublin. He's going to be an intercounty player for Dublin this year. And he will certainly hold his own, and he'll bring a thing that Dublin don't really have, you know, a kind of a midfield enforcer type player. So, like, there's an argument there as well. Should Nafina, should Kilmacud, should Ballyboden, should Coola, should, let's say, a team playing in Senior A, Senior 1 football and hurling, should they be allowed to transfer? There's plenty of clubs in Dublin that players can transfer up to. So maybe there's an argument there. Because that's a strong getting stronger argument. There's no shortage of numbers in Kilmacud or Nafina to be able to make
clubs,
up for.
Yeah, I think those clubs have actually made a decision themselves, though, in recent years.
Generally have, except when a Shane Walsh comes along.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, there will be exceptions to every rule, but I think that they're, for the most part, they have actually said, you know, like, name the club teams that have actually done really well out of a ton of transfers. Mm-hmm. I've actually won county titles, you know, like Jude's in Temple Oak had, you know, a ton of them, and they never actually got over the line. So I think, like, even in the last couple of years, there has been, like, Parnell's went to the wall, exactly, but I think that there is, like, a realisation that if you put all this money into academies and you develop all these underage teams, to then, once all those players get to 20 and 21, throw them out in favour of some guy who's in Dublin maybe for 2 or 3 years. Like, I think the clubs themselves are actually regulating that all right. So, like, the transfer thing, but I mean, it is obviously a vexed thing. On the other hand, the idea that someone moves up to Dublin, starts a job, starts a family,
and maybe has to find the smallest possible club he can find find.
Listen, you know, there are hard examples in all cases, but in a general sense, the majority of lads are like, I just don't want to travel 3 hours down the road to play my G anymore. Yeah, you know, and you just gotta accept
disgraceful.
That.
Nafina got
a spoken like a man who's played for 4 clubs.
Four.
Add a couple onto that. So
far. Nice drive by on me there, Owen. Thanks for that. Well, I mean, why does he want to do me like that?
I would never do that to you.
Well,
ever.
I don't know that that's true, Killian. They say that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So one never knows.
Well,
you know,
maybe
if you ascend to the top job, maybe you too would ride roughshod over my emotions.
Given the opportunity. Given the opportunity.
In any case, it's time now, Killian, to turn it over to our beloved listeners.
I've got a call here that says, you're the most boring, predictable, condescending interviewer around. Go back to lecturing. You have the charisma of a sick bag.
Oh, God.
That's just it. I just mentioned, not you, no me.
Okay, ain't nobody f***ing with my click, 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 click. Ain't nobody fresher than my mom.
We don't normally broadcast all the stuff that comes from scum around the country.
Hi, lads. All the rehash talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold has gotten very old and perhaps even a little toxic.
Toxic?
You got to bear with this email.
Okay.
It comes around, back around to points, it goes up.
Why is it toxic?
We can't get bogged down in the details. We'll never get to the end of this. I tried to shorten this as much as I could, and then as I went on, I realised, oh, hang on, he's linking later bits back to earlier, but it won't make sense if I just... It remains to be seen if his head will be turned by that glamorous opportunity to explore just how sexy the right-back position can become.
Well, it probably won't be a right-back position, will it, Owen? Won't be the right-back position.
But... Just let the man finish.
This isn't an email about Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Who's he going to be playing for, Owen, next season?
Real Madrid.
And who's going to be the manager of Real Madrid?
Next season.
Yes.
Jurgen Klopp.
No. Who's going to be the Real Madrid manager next season? Because there's been a bunch of reports that Ancelotti said he's going to leave at the end of the season. And even if he hasn't really said that, I wouldn't be surprised if he did leave. So if he, if Carlo Ancelotti were to be in his final season at Real Madrid, who will be their manager next season?
Zinedine Zidane?
No, come on. I'll look, there's a handsome young coach who's been doing amazing things. Didn't go so well for him. He was actually, would you believe, in Madrid last night, Owen. Only Julian Alvarez got the better of him. Wriggling away, Xabi scoring Alonso. A couple of great goals.
Oh, Xabi. Of course, yeah.
And what formation does Xabi Alonso play?
3-4-3.
Which would mean that Trent Alexander-Arnold wouldn't be a right back anymore.
He'd be a wing back.
Well, you know, if you've seen what Grimaldo does for Bayer Leverkusen, you know, there could be a case of, well, you know, maybe that would be sort of interesting. Maybe this sort of number six, number eight thing isn't going to happen. But what about the false 11 role of...
That's not a thing.
Well,
Don't try and make false 11 work.
Look, all I'm saying is, just to take issue with the email.
Can you please not take issue with every paragraph of this email?
First of all, there's been an unsubstantiated claim of toxicity. And then there's been an inaccurate forecast of positionality.
Yeah, he's just really...
And we're only on the second line.
He's just really laying this out to get to the funny part of the email. If indeed it is funny, the jury is out at the moment. I'm going to have to do this again. Hi, lads. All the rehash talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold has gotten very old and perhaps even a little toxic.
Disagree.
It remains to be seen if his head will be turned by that glamorous opportunity to explore just how sexy the right-back position can become at Real Madrid after the glory years of heavy metal football. Speaking of old and toxic, it's been a tad worrying in recent months to hear how much time Ken continues to sink into the Trump-X-Musk triangle of sadness. The world of conspiracy theorists and algorithmic violence has become too much for some, with many of us instead now spending our days staring up into the blue sky. However, yesterday, amidst the bleak... Oh, this is Monday. Amidst the bleak but hilarious Johnny coverage...
A man named Johnny.
My ears were drawn to a curiously enthusiastic... Gianni. My ears were drawn to a curiously enthusiastic response from Ken to Murph's likening of Trump's new meme coins to a similar endeavour launched by the Hawk Tua lady. Yeah, Ken said. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hang on, I thought to myself. Was that...
Did I say it like that? It would have been...
Was that 10 yes I heard from Ken? Timestamp 41:25.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Was that... Is that edited together?
That wasn't me, but listening back, I think maybe Brano made a little cut there. Somewhere.
It's faked. Again, it's faked audio.
Yeah.
There was no need to. Brano.
I wasn't aware of that.
I mean, you do have sometimes edit things for brevity, but I think the 10, yeah.
They lie and lie and lie.
Can we count them again to see?
Okay, yeah. I have to say, we have all noticed a slip in Brano's work standards as well.
Yeah, but that... unbelievable.
There's a nice competitive tension around the office between Brano and Kinney. It's started to slip out on
air. We're needling them as well.
So let's play this again. Okay. Let's count. It's very hard to count what's going so fast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too fast, my brain. I'm just going to have to say that's 10. Just as I begin...
Sounds like 8 to me.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe he deleted a couple. Who knows?
Yeah.
Just as I begin to think second captains might be treading too much on long-trodden ground with their Alexander-Arnold coverage, they manage to covertly slip in a nod to that other Trent. This is where the email starts to...
Okay.
That other Trent who gave up metal for an elevated and sexier prospect, the great musician Trent Reznor. The man who, along with his co-writer Atticus Ross, has made film scores, what some might consider the right back of the Academy Awards formation, into a category as eye-catching as the traditional celebrity-driven fodder of acting and directing, which are quite obviously the inverted wingers and trequartistas of the cinema world. Reznor's output in 2024 was his raunchiest yet, especially his work on tennis thriller...
Challengers?
Correct. Perhaps the standout track? A little number called... Yeah by 10? Yeah x 10? Yeah by 10. In one fell swoop, we've gone from a triangle of sadness to a love triangle, or at least I have in this letter. Great sports film reference, Ken, unless it was unintentional. If so, maybe cool it on the yes, yeah?
Yeah.
Says good. It's very hard. I noticed in even reading this email out and trying to figure out earlier on if it was worthy of going on air, which it turns out it wasn't. it turns out it's just, is it an Irish thing that we say the word yeah a lot? Yeah. I mean, if you're British, obviously you say indeed. You've got other go-to words in that scenario, but indeed.
Of course,
of course, indeed,
indubitably.
Whereas we just go yeah. No, yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or when you're talking and it feels like Ken's giving you nothing over there, I'm eager to say yeah, to let you know.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in this together. Even Ken's in it, even though he's not looking at you and it looks like he's on his phone, he is in this together with you. Yeah,
yeah. No, I was just trying to enthusiastically agree with your comparison, thinking it's the same thing, as far as I can tell, rather than to sort of bestow some sort of approval by saying the word yeah too many times. It wasn't like I was like,
oh. You're just being polite. You're just polite.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it was that quick that it was maybe like a get it
also,
over with
shut
so
up.
Keep talking.
Yeah, yeah. I was making a good point, but you interrupted with this hot to it nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Big ol' ass.
Yeah.
Big.
Yeah.
Ripe half melons.
I would like to have sex once or twice a day. Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty much it. I'd like to thank you, Killian, for your contribution today.
Thank you, Ciarán.
If you sign up for the World Service, we'll chat to you tomorrow. And if not, we'll chat to you on Monday. Remember, the second half of the podcast, that would be part of the Acast Creator Network.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off. They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's World Service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey, it's Mark Maron from WTF here to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And I'm sure the reason you're listening to this podcast right now is because you chose it. Well, choose Progressive's Name Your Price tool, and you could find insurance options that fit your budget so you can pick the best one for your situation. Who doesn't like choice? Try it at progressive.com. And now, some legal info. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Worried about what ingredients are hiding in your groceries? Let us take the guesswork out. We're Thrive Market, the online grocery store with the highest quality standards in the industry. We restrict 1,000 plus ingredients, so you can trust that you'll only find the best high quality, organic, and sustainable brands, all free of the junk. With savings up to 30% off and fast carbon neutral shipping, you get top trusted groceries at your door, and you can stop worrying about what your kids get their hands on. Start shopping at thrivemarket.com/podcast for 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Do you run the performance review process at your company? Are you struggling with a broken, clunky manual system? Meet PerformYard, the all-in-one platform for managing performance reviews, goal setting, and feedback. PerformYard helps HR teams customize your process to meet the unique needs of your organization. Join the thousands of HR pros modernizing and streamlining their performance management. Visit PerformYard.com/podcast to learn more.